In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit, we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Saint
Joseph,
pray for us.
Father Lanteri,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay, the catechesis on prayer is the following. And all of you have been doing it. Pretty well, thanks be to God, these past 7 days. But after this is finished, you have to persevere in this spiritual practice. And it's that all of you should have a spiritual director. All of you should have a spiritual director. St. Teresa of Avila insisted upon having a spiritual director. St. Ignatius insisted upon having a spiritual director. Many of the saints have encouraged also spiritual direction. St. Teresa of Avila had 3 canonized saints as her spiritual directors. St. John of the Cross, St. Peter Alcantara, and St. Francis Borja, or the Americans say Borgia. And you have to learn, directors have to learn how to be directors, but directees have to learn how to be directees. We have prayer companions and some directors here. You have to learn the art of spiritual direction, the directors here. But directees have to learn the art of being directed. Okay, for example, I direct some people. But I have my director. I have probably the most renowned spiritual director in Los Angeles is my director, and I'm thankful for that, no? In the House of Prayer on Waverly for the past 10 years, no? And I'll just tell you, I'm not going to tell you exactly what we do, but what I do right away is right away I talk about my prayer life. We pray together, and off the bat, I tell them how my prayer life has been in the past month. And I'm so used to people telling me about their prayer life. Now it's my turn. Yeah. It's my turn. And if I don't do that, I don't think I'm going to grow. But I think I'm growing. Pray for me. I think I am. But if I couldn't talk it out with this well-trained priest, then what happens, when you grow in your spiritual life, you go from the first set of rules to the second set of rules, where you have much more subtle temptations, such that even the devil can tempt us to do good things. If you don't have a good spiritual director, you're not going to be able to, you're going to be tricked. And often will people come to me and I'll say, where does that come from? Because they haven't thought it through. They'll say, what, Father? I said, where did that come from? What? Okay, I'm not going to let you off the hook. Where did that come from? Did that come from the good spirit or the bad spirit? Well, I think it came from the bad spirit. Well, I'll tell you, you don't think it was from the bad spirit. I'll tell you. So if you did not communicate that to your director, you're being led by the devil, not even aware of it. Okay, one of the best examples is the Curie of Ars. The Curie of Ars had the thought that he had to go off and pray because he was spending so many hours in the confessional, 15 hours a day. But he wasn't praying enough. Well, the devil convinced him, all the saints prayed, and much more than you. You're going to go to hell. And he's almost convinced. So he tried to leave Ars, and the people dragged him back. He tried to leave a second time, the people dragged him back. Third time he tried to escape, and they dragged him back. When he was coming back, he said, it was the devil. Yep. It was the devil, yeah. Now, if the Curie of Ars could be tricked, what about us? None of us could say that we're more holy than the Curie of Ars. Right? So, I would say that many of you have spiritual direction, but one concrete proposal should be, as a result of this retreat, all of you will have a spiritual director within a couple months anyway. Amen or oh me? Okay. Okay, so take that seriously. Otherwise, what's going to happen is you're going to grow in your spiritual life and you'll stagnate and you'll plateau. So you'll end up by being a good person, but not the best. God wants you to become a great saint. Okay, you'll end up being a good person, but that's not good enough for Christ. He wants you to become a saint. Amen? Okay, right now we're all going to the foot of Calvary. Our last meditation was the Way of the Cross. We gave you about five different scenes from the Way of the Cross. So right now I'm not going to go through in detail the graphic details of the crucifixion. I'll leave that to your own discretion. Okay? But what I'd like to do is, I want all of you to try in the next meditation, either tonight if you're not too tired, or tomorrow morning, I want all of you to go to the foot of the cross with the Blessed Mother, with Saint John and Mary Magdalene. That's what I want all of you to do. You can use my book, The Fifth Sorrowful Mystery, if that can help you out. I want all of you, not like the other 11 apostles, to run away from the cross. I want you to be there. As they ran away. Have enough courage to spend some time with the Blessed Mother with St. John and Mary Magdalene at the foot of the cross. And I'm going to express to you the sentiments of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and what that should mean to us. So Jesus hangs from the cross. The sentiments that emanate from the heart of Christ are the following. He says, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. That means intense, inexhaustible, immense mercy. And mercy is God loving and forgiving the sinner. That's what mercy is. God loving and forgiving the sinner, that's a definition of mercy. Okay, two-way street. You want to receive the mercy of Christ. But is it you have to give it too. You have to give it. Jesus says, be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. He also says in the Sermon on the Mount, the various translations, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I think if you go to the original, be perfected, it's the present continuous. Okay? So the present is continuing in action. So I don't think any of us right now would say that we are absolutely perfect. And even after you finish your retreat, probably I'm not going to go home and tell your husband, now I'm perfect. You know, really what happens after retreat, we recognize how imperfect we are. It's the other way around, huh? Closer you get to the light, the more you can see the white speckles on your white shirt. Okay, the next sentiment of the heart of Christ, that we want to assume the same sentiments, is Jesus, he says, I thirst. There's a parallel verse, John chapter 4, at the well. The woman at the well, Jesus said, I thirst, give me to drink. Psalm 42, as the deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. Those are two parallel biblical passages. Pope John Paul II insisted that we look at biblical passages and compare one to the other to see the different nuances. It's a good way to study the Bible, meditate upon the Bible. Okay, what does this mean? Okay, what this means is this. The reason for Jesus' coming is expressed by his name. The name Jesus means Savior. That is, his name expresses his raison d'être, or his reason for being. His purpose for being was he came to save. And as Fulton Sheen says, of all The names and titles we can give for Jesus, the most important is Jesus Savior. That's why he came. He came to save our souls. Your soul is worth more than the whole created universe. How do you know that? Look at the cross and what he shed on the cross. He did it for the salvation of your soul. You're redeemed not by the blood of calves or bought back by gold and silver, but you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, St. Peter. So I'm trying to do from the sentiments of the heart of Christ to motivate us to imitate him, to have the same sentiments that he had. How is that one translated into clear English? You should have a great zeal for the salvation of souls. As I've said in the exercise, if you love God, you should love what God loves, the salvation of souls. A real fervor, a zeal for that. My founder, Venerable Father Bruno Lanteri, said we should be ready to stand on the precipice of hell to prevent people from falling in there. That's my founder. I mean, you're standing on the precipice of the Grand Canyon, huh? In other words, to do all we possibly can as oblates to save souls. And you'll find that in St. Anthony Mary Claret and John Bosco and all the saints, for that matter. The real hunger and zeal for the salvation of souls. Not that we're zealous fanatics, but we're doing all in our power to be a bridge between heaven and earth. A bridge by which souls can cross from this world to heaven. Okay, you got to pray, you got to fast, but you have to be creative, and you have to sometimes take the initiative. Sometimes you got to walk on the boat, and you got to walk on the water, and trust that the Lord's going to help you. Okay, then Jesus, very mysterious expression from the heart of Christ, which he's basically quoting Psalm 22, the Psalm before the Good Shepherd. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was suffering for those who had abandoned him because of mortal sins. And he wants us to do all we can to bring people from mortal sin into the state of grace through that apostolic zeal. The motto of St. John Bosco was, give me souls, take all the rest away. St. John Bosco. And then from the depths of his heart, as he hangs upon the cross, he's shedding his precious blood that was given to him by his mother, because Christ had two natures and his human nature was given to him by his mother. He says, woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother. When I was writing at this conference, I always try to pull out a story or two. And one story that came to me was a talk given by Father Tim Gallagher. And it's... my Polish is not very good. Danuta could probably pronounce it better than me. Cardinal Stefan Wyszyński. Okay. Wyszyński, he was the primate of Poland when John Paul II was a young priest and a bishop. When he was arrested by the communists, he was being led into this, was an ex-monastery, and he was afraid. Because often they would kill priests, they would kill bishops. He was walking up the banister, the stairs, and he was just filled with fear. And he saw a beautiful image of Our Lady on the wall, and that took all of his fear away. I don't have to say anything more. So your consecration to Mary is entrusting your fears, entrusting your anxieties, trusting your family to Mary. And this is really where the consecration to Mary really comes in. When we've got some worry or fear, not when everything is always going well, but when the rubber hits the road, you have something that's really heavy upon your heart. So Jesus looks down and he sees his mother. He says, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." From that moment, the beloved disciple took Mary into his home, which means into his heart. You've already encountered Mary in many different aspects in this Ignatian Marian retreat. Many. And now you're going to be meeting Mary in a different light. This is not the wedding feast of Cana. It's the same person, but the sentiments of Mary are very different. So if you have enough courage, try to go into the heart of Mary underneath the cross. It takes courage. Going through the Passion of Christ, going into someone's heart where there's a lot of suffering and pain, you're listening to me and you're kind of cringing. And maybe you're fearful. But beg for the grace to have the courage to enter into the heart of Mary. I really believe you'll find a real source of refuge there. In this retreat and the rest of your life. Trust me. Trust the saints. Someone like Colby, right? Or de Montfort. This limitless trust. You read someone like Maximilian Colby, his trust in the Immaculate. It blows you away. And he is obviously one of the greatest modern saints, Colby. I think about these saints and they just give me enthusiasm. They set my heart on fire just thinking about saints and preaching on saints. They're my friends. And they're your friends too. We're really never alone because we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Those are the saints. We're never alone. Never alone. And then Jesus says, into your hands I commend my spirit. Jesus is dying. He's dying. The grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. the grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. And here's another sentiment that you can express in your prayer as you stand underneath the cross. With Jesus on the cross, Mary beneath the cross, Magdalene hugging the cross, John standing next to Mary, is with all the fervor of your heart, Lord Jesus, when I die, I want to go to heaven. But say it with fervor. That's probably the most fervent prayer that I ever pray. I don't know about you people. I really want to go to heaven. I don't know about you. More than anything else, I want to go to heaven. When God wants me to go. But I want to go to heaven. Do you want to go to heaven?
Yeah.
Kind of, or, you know, whimsically, okay, half-heartedly. Once again, this is principle and foundation. And then, you know, as he hangs on the cross, you know, he's surrounded by these two thieves. Fulton Sheen gives the definition. They were insurrectionists or revolutionaries. They were murderers. They were thieves. And revolutionaries means that they were trying to overthrow the Roman, you know, the Romans. No, that was their intention. And then, you know, they start to attack Jesus, both in the beginning. But one of them is moved by grace. And he's moved by grace, probably aware of the holiness, the love, the mercy, the compassion of the man that's right next to him. And he's aware that this man next to him hasn't done anything wrong. Both of them have done a lot wrong. And he turns to Jesus and says, well, before that he says to his companion, look, we're here because we deserve it. We deserve it for our crimes. This man has done no evil. Then he turns to Jesus and he says, and Jesus is about to die. Almost as if Jesus barely has any more energy left. And he turns to him and says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And then Jesus has renewed energy and he lifts up his head and he looks at the man and he says, Amen, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. How do you apply that to your life? You should have a desire to do all you can to help deathbed sinners to get to heaven. You all are going to have an opportunity when someone's dying. For the love of God, help that person. Because often, and that is sometimes when the devil attacks most. I'm not saying this to scare you, but you know, we as priests have been a priest for many years. Often it's when the devil attacks most. I'll give an example. About 33 years ago, I was in Detroit, Michigan with my mother. I was just ordained a priest. I was visiting some of the relatives, and someone notified us that there was someone in the hospital dying. I think this is the first time I gave the anointing of the sick. I was just a priest for a couple months. So I wasn't really sure how to do it. Nobody had the book. I had the anointing. I just followed the ritual. As I was, you know, I was new at this. No? And so Mom came into the room, and there was a woman, and she was very, very, very anxious. She was squirming and anxious and tense. And I gave her the anointing of the sick, and right away she calmed down. And when I was leaving the hospital, my mom said, "Did you notice what happened? Did you notice the power of the priesthood?" I said, "Yeah. Yeah. The anointing of the sick, one of the things it does is it gives us peace in the midst of turmoil. And I've noticed that not just once. Because when the anointing, it's actually Jesus that comes and he's embracing the sick person and giving courage and peace and strength to end one's life, if that's his will, in peace with God." So that's my interpretation of that sentiment in the heart of Christ. If we really love Christ, we want to do all we can to help those who are, especially in their last moments, help them to die in the state of grace so that they will be saved for all eternity. You pray the chaplet of Divine Mercy at the bedside of someone, Jesus promises that person can be saved, irrespective of what he's done. And don't try to reason it through. I've tried to reason it through for 30 years. No, just trust in God's mercy. You won't be able to understand it if you have your legal cap on. You've got your justice up here. God is mercy. I've battled with this for many years, so just trust in his mercy. Will you?
Yes.
Trust in his mercy. His mercy, we will never be able to fathom how great is the mercy of Christ. St. Faustina said, even the greatest intellects, even the angels in heaven cannot fathom the mercy of Christ. Even the angels. You know, the seraphim, the cherubim, they've got keen intellects. So I'm trying to lead you into a meditation of Christ's passion, but see if you can connect it to your life. And Jesus ends by saying, "It is finished." How do you interpret that? All of you have a vocation and a mission that only you can carry out. There's no one Padiescovita. There's no one Maria. There's only one Marina. There's only one Mary Marturan. There's only one Elvira. There's only one Daniel. There's only one of us. Only you can carry it out. And souls are depending upon your sanctification. I repeat, souls are depending upon your sanctification. So, has this been helpful?
Yes.
So, I'm giving you a very practical interpretation, and I want all of you to stand underneath the cross with John and Magdalene and the Blessed Virgin Mary. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Saint Ignatius, pray for us.